Okay, so welcome everybody. We're going to present our iterative process from the last 2 years. So Hannah and I were dealing with the music psychology part of it, and in the beginning we kind of divided it into two parts, which we termed the qualitative part, which was given to me, and the more quantitative part, which was given to her, but actually it's quite, it's not a dichotomy, it's more like a continuum. So what I did on a really qualitative part was, in the end, I started with interviews with the two artists, but what I did mostly were like questionnaires with a certain open form, which is certainly qualitative, but in the end we were gathering data through surveys. So just for a little, oops, why is it not showing up? So, give you an idea what we did. It was always an iterative process. We were basically interested in evaluation and classification of gestures by an audience. So, we were heading towards custom tailored questionnaires and surveys, which were then optimized in the process through comments, through presentations in the group, and also the evaluation through statistics. So one goal which we had in the beginning was to develop custom tailored concepts or categories to then apply and test. This is actually something which didn't work out until now. And also a critical evaluation of literature and the own concepts. But I think the upper part did work out, so we made this progress. We also decided to have a mixed form as a final form, so not just rating scales or just open questions, so we combined it. This is done by things like when you rate the segment, you have a text field where you can enter your comments or point at elements which are typical of your decision. What's also interesting, we have different contexts of use. I think we mostly we did it with offline ratings of video segments, but we also did just recently with a piece of our artists, we did a live rating, so the whole team sat there with the pressure sensors and did a live rating. In the beginning we also started with some boxes with faders and knobs, I think. So we tried it all, actually. And yes, we did try it on different what's called populations. So is it the audience, or is it just our group, or do we I will show it in the data afterwards, do we include third groups? So how applicable is it, or how is the interaction with the other research tracks? It certainly is useful per se, so you can get insights of it, you can make comparisons between groups, or look at certain gestures and get the categorization through the surveys. But is it really beyond descriptive? Do we really get something out of which we didn't foresee? So this is still an open question. So for the actual experiment we did in the last months, Hannah and I we recruited 26 participants, so from this building here actually. So it comprised students and staff working here. So 13 of them were musicians and the other were non-musicians. We then took the video capturing of impression performance with a cello. And then in the group selected five excerpts. So everybody had to select his favorites, and then we decided on which to take. And these were then presented on a screen with a pressure sensor, and this continuous effort rating were recorded in either an audio only or a video only condition. So this was Hannah's part, and after that they were redirected to the online survey and gave the ratings and the classifications on smaller excerpts from this excerpt. So we looked at prototypical gestures within these 20 to 40 second segments. So we could actually look at the tool. I'm not allowed to do this. Why is this not working? Don't I have a sidebar in this mode? It's gone. How do I get to my Safari? So I have to make it home. Oops. Sorry about that. And then maybe zoom. So sorry for the resolution, but actually you have the video up there, which you can play as most small excerpt. Then you have the just the ratings on a 5-point scale, how surprising, how gestural, and how familiar was this gesture. Then on semantic differentials with with a 7-point scale, you had the rating about how interesting it was and how pleasant it was. Then we took an abstract category of how text eigen or text fremd it is. That means how close to the in this case notation or piece it is situated by the viewer. So the other part then with some explanation and the text field was just the categorization part. So we had this Gado and Pochi categorizations we applied, and furthermore we had some looking at gestural primitives where you can make a choice, and this goes on with the nature of these gestures. So are they more communicative, example using, facilitating or accompanying, and so on. So at the end you could also give general remark on the segment, and then the whole thing was randomized and with these 5 segments. So just to give you, I will not cover all 5 segments and I will really not go too deep into the data. I have to switch this again, sorry. Just to get an impression of it, so maybe the sound. It was like the long segment, and then we tried to take a smaller segment out of it. So the categorization then was between the segments. We saw actually it was really clear with all these 26 participants that they usually chose one category. So in the case of this we just saw, it's clearly a trajectory based with like 22 people saying it is clearly a trajectory based gesture, where just 5 people say it may be pattern based. And for the segment, just to have an example, we saw that looking at the primitives, it was more decided that it is force-based. So overall, looking at all segments, we ended up in like the some categorization done by our participants. So what we also looked at is at differences between persons. So what we see here is in the categorization, on the left part there are the non-musicians, on the right part there are the musicians, and we see differences here which are also statistically significant when we can believe this test with just 26 persons, but it's okay more or less. So we see that the non-musicians tend to categorize the gesture we just saw to a more epistemic, so it's a process of realization happening in the performance with the instrument, whereas the musicians tended to see it just as ergodic, just as, let's say, normal manual manipulation of the instrument. So there was a difference there. And having our comment option, we have statements for the musician. For most of the musicians, they categorized it in ergodic, so they say it's things like the gesture is associated to the music, and I guess it's written in the music sheet, so very straightforward. And a musician opting for the epistemic category just said, I will translate it, it doesn't serve the communication. It seems experimental to find out what a sound is produced with this gesture. It's not that clear. It's clear that it's not an intuitive finding, but also it is somehow instructed. So it's a little bit vague, but you see that we can get more out of the data than just the pure categorization. And on the other hand, the non-musician says he really focused on the moment that it seemed like she was connecting to your instrument and interacting with it. So the second category, which was different in the ratings between the groups, was the morphology of the gesture. So the non-musicians mostly, the musicians mostly, or all of them, saw it as a sustained gesture, whereas the non-musicians, some of them, so iterative aspects in it. And in the categorization part, just segment two in these two categories, so in the Gadu categories, basic categories, as well as the morphology categories, were different. Everything else was the same between the groups. So that can be seen here, so it always looked like an agreement. So it doesn't matter if the person was musician or not. So to sum it up, to round it up, we certainly have something like a union classifier, which is interesting, I think, in the context we just heard before with machine learning and classifying and so on. Are there really differences between groups? I just showed you the two results. Actually, I would rather say no. And what we see in the comments and what is really understandable as the input before is what is the object of the focus, and what is the conceptual understanding behind it. And I think it's really nice that you can get it out of the text, but as always, there were only like 50% using the text option. Maybe you have to force it in a future iteration. And it really, which is kind of a bias, but it really matched with our own categorization. So no surprise there. But what has to be said is that certainly with these five excerpts and having a complex piece, it is really selection bias there, and you also want to take segments which are slightly different. Maybe you tend to to have contrast between the segments. So this is really something to look at. This is, I think, key to this for future iterations to have really, let's say, objective ratings and not just confirm your selection bias. So we looked at the categorization. When you look at the ratings, so how surprising, gestural, familiar, interesting, and so on are these segments. We just see with these 26 participants that just took it as a graphical input how different these ratings were. So it doesn't really make sense to make plots and statistics and everything, because the value is not really given. But what we can say, just looking at the ratings overall, is that segment 3 was most surprising, gestural, familiar, interesting, and segment 5 was like the worst in all these. I will show you the video afterwards. So we see what I talked before about the selection bias, maybe it's already there. So we have like a highlight in all these 5 segments, which stands out, obviously. So we looked at the differences between musician and non-musician, and we just saw that segment 1 was less surprising for the musicians in average. So this is again all statistically significant. Segment 2 was more gestural and pleasant for the musicians, and segment 4 was more familiar. And now looking at the continuous data, we saw that especially segment 1, we had significant differences in the continuous rating. So it was interesting to look at it, and maybe as an outcome we could say that the difference in this continuous effort rating reflected maybe reflected by these differences in the surprise. It's a nice timing for Hannah to show up, actually. Because I'm showing one of her slides. So this is the continuous rating for segment 1. You see that in the solid lines there are the musicians, and in the dotted lines there are the non-musicians. And A stands for the audio condition and V for the video condition. So you see some difference there, which, as I said before, may be reflected by this surprise rating. Yes, so reaching out or continue this path is certainly for me. We saw the slide of Alexander's overview about the different tiers of data. We have a similar master tool in development, so it's really as a first step having some layers for our music psychology part in this visualization tool, and then also the link to music analysis. So we have in this case we have the notation ready, and we could actually look at correlations between our findings or our data, actually, and in music analysis. And as I said before, the very interesting would be the link to the music technology, maybe apply this human classification. I skipped that. So, and for our data and for our joint experiment, I think a larger samples would be great to have, like, better contrasts within the group, so you can look at musicians who were only in the video condition and compare them with non-musicians who were only in the audio condition, for example. What would be really interesting is just to have live ratings, to have like more directly gathered data, not with a whole lot of instructions and so on. different cohorts would be interesting. So we actually may have a bias of not having a contrast when recruiting people from this institute, because most of them are artistically involved and may have. So we are really interested maybe in really naive audience for further contrast. And just basically, as Jan said before, we're like testing the tools, evaluating the tools, iterating on the process, and to maybe focus on specific contrasts or hypotheses in future. And as a further thing would be to have like physiological measures as another data level. So just quickly say something about the interview part, which then is covered in the thing after the break. Mm-hmm. Just for the methodology, it's actually grounded in participative research, which tries to establish a natural setting and is really transparent about its methods used. It's based on inclusion and immersion, so me as an interviewer it was more like a small talk with a certain guideline I made for myself. So it was an open interview, about 60 minutes, and I did it with both Beat, the trombone player, and Angela, the dancer. And the time point of this interview was actually, I followed the developing pieces, making notes and so on, and the time point for the interview was actually after the first presentation, so after the first milestone, so to speak. So just my guidelines or my set was to focus on the body in different function and context, also looking at the development over time. And practically, it was also possibility to evaluate the concepts we develop or we look at in a field setting. And very important, actually, it was an input from the last meeting from Berta Bermudez, was always to keep in mind for whom are you doing that, and also evaluate our research endeavor in the field. That means with actual artists, which are maybe will profit in the future from that. And we have two cases, and we will see that in the concerts this night, where it's really happening. And what also in there is a lot of background, which goes into personality things, biography and motivation. But this I put in brackets because I think it's not really in the focus of our study at the moment. So yeah, at the end I think it was in parallel with paper we did, where we also look at the neurological background of these different time frames of development, of expertise and performance and so on. And I think a lot of it already is resonating within this paper. And yeah, just to give you, sorry for the end. So this would be, segment three, which was rated highest in all these rating scales. Just for comparison, segment 5, who got the lowest ratings? That would be it, and I think it's a good moment to discuss or to move on to the actual continuous data.
So I would propose that we switch over to Hanna, because it's like the other half of this investigation. It's a lot of information.
Yes,
I'm aware of that. It's quite dense. But I have a number of questions that I will ask the both of you afterwards. So I think we have a minute or two for questions immediately now. Is everybody aware of the music that we're looking at? So I mean, we just now saw this this Pression by Lachenmann, and this was actually also motion captured at the same time. So we have different levels of analysis possible.
I have only a very brief question concerning surveying of life, so live feedback situations. Can you mimic that kind of thing by allowing people to do offline surveys, but they can only watch things once? Or is that a totally different setting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually you could mimic it, yeah.
But you think it's as...
Yeah, but it's not live as all the...
Of being there, of course, but still. But then you could use the same audience or the same survey group twice. So they do a survey after watching everything once, and then they can rewatch as many times as they want to do another survey.
Well, I think you can't replace the kind of live thing. Because of course you already have a screen in front of you, and it's kind of mediated experience. Because I think these qualitative judgments of like effort, etc., they're also kinesthetic. In the sense that if you see it on a screen, you already lose the physical kind of
thing. But at least you have the level of spontaneity, so you can't, people can't sort of reconsider their answers.
Yeah, that's... I'm not convinced that that actually qualifies in terms of methodology, you know, to kind of say, well, you can only see it once, and then it's as spontaneous as if you were seeing it live.
That works. Can I ask, what were you recording with the pressure sensor?
So the piece is called Pression.
Yeah.
So there's the thing that would be that we don't have, which would be really relevant, would be muscle tension of the performer, and we don't have that.
Well, maybe I can help with that. Yeah.
So.
Well, there was this idea of using. I mean, since the survey group surveys pressure, so effort. That the modality of surveying is related to this effort.
Yes.
So rather than having moving the mouse, which we initially did. Mm-hmm. In order to try the level of effort, to have something that actually physical effort that the audience has to do. So we came up with the pressure sensors.
Yeah. So in a sense, also the methodology is less about measuring directly the performer, but getting the information from the viewer about the performer. So again, you have like the human classifier. It's kind of this observer position. One aspect that I was interested in originally was affectivity, or how it affects somebody. And that happens in the viewer. Mm. So the performer can be in a completely different state, generating emotional affect without actually feeling anything.
But what was the experimental design here? Was the subject watching a video of a performance, and did they have a pressure sensor on the table and they were pushing the sensor? Yes. But what were they told to respond to? Effort? The perceived effort?
I'll shortly explain.
Oh, okay, sorry.